From Topps comes the all-new digital card collecting app, free to download from iTunes or Google Play, Star Wars Card Trader.
For the first time ever, collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
All from the comfort of your mobile devices, Star Wars Card Trader.
These are the cards you're looking for.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Dan Z and Corey Club, the podcast you're looking for. This is. Yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
At last, where have you been?
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
Hello, this is Dan Z, and welcome to show number 43 of Coffee with Kenobi, a Star Wars podcast that analyzes our favorite saga in a whole new way. With me is my good friend and co-host, Corey Club.
Hello, everybody. As we all savor the excitement that is Force Friday, be sure to stay tuned to Coffee with Kenobi for the latest in-depth analysis, discussion, and interviews. You are all a huge part of the discussion, and we thank you. A special shout out to Mediocre Jedi, Mike Audette, Neil Lowry, Dennis Keithley, Matt Moore, Leighton Torres, Angela Sauce, Chris Perlow, Graham Densham, Jesse, Eric Scratch, Joel Welch, Sean Reed, and Adam Leonard for their contributions to Coffee with Kenobi Patreon page. We really appreciate it. Be sure to listen to our first ever coffee chat with Dennis Keithley as we discuss the hype and excitement surrounding each of the Star Wars films. By supporting our Patreon page, you too can win a coffee chat podcast of your own. Check out our webpage or the show notes for more information.
In today's show, the Cantina Cast joins us for part one of our crossover event. Ike and Joa join us for a cup of coffee as we discuss our topic for show number 43, your most compelling and significant Star Wars moments. We love talking with the Cantina Cast and look forward to dissecting some of these classic moments.
We also discuss the premiere of Season 2 of Rebels, Force Friday, the search for Disney Infinity Figures, and introduce our topic for show number 44.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
Oh, wait, this is interesting.
You found something.
I'm about to let everyone in on the secret.
For our first news story, we have got confirmed news of the Rebels Season 2 premiere. It's going to be on October 14th, of course, on Disney XD. So this is really exciting, Corey. Tell me what you thought when you heard this.
Yeah, it's great because we're getting into another huge season of Rebels. Season 1 was a blast, and you got to see the premiere in Anaheim, and I did not, but it recently was debuted again on Disney Channel for folks over the summer to kind of jump in, and I couldn't be more ecstatic. This is exciting because some of the clips we saw in Anaheim kind of tease us a little bit was what to come. There is another teaser out there that I think came out this week that featured Ahsoka and the crew. And we've got that on our webpage there. Go check that out. But this is exciting because season one was such a blockbuster season, and I didn't expect that. And this just, you know, from what we know so far going into season two, just from knowing the new characters, getting to know the crew, getting to know the Empire and all that's going on there, and of course the big one, Darth Vader.
Yes, well said. Blockbuster indeed it was, and this of course is going to be 22 episodes for season two, which is great because we're going to get basically twice as much of Rebels. Mm-hmm. And that is never a bad thing. Also today, when we're recording this, season one came out on Blu-ray and DVD, which is pretty slick. It's got all the 15 episodes and a bunch of bonus material, which we've talked about before. And we discussed it. So we're excited. Rebels is back, which means you're going to see more Rebels reactions from us. And I know, as we, of course, have talked about a few times, Corey's very busy, but hopefully he'll join us for Rebels reactions whenever he can.
I don't think I could stay away. I mean, I love the series itself. I'm sure I'll be on here and there poking my nose in all the business going on Rebels reactions. So check it out and let us know what you think. Our next news story, Dan and I have been counting down the days for Force Friday.
Oh, man. When you say it, woo.
I think we were texting tonight, and you texted me and you said, I think you've got me more excited. And usually it's the other way around.
Yeah.
You're getting me more excited about things upcoming. And this is a big event. This is huge. Disney and Star Wars put together quite an event, a worldwide event, really, where folks can jump online and kind of experience it, unboxings around the world as Force Friday kind of settles in there. But they did have a debut on StarWars.com for a Force Friday event guide. Some of the things they're kind of going on around the web, around some of the exclusive stores, Disney Store and Disney Parks themselves. Quite the exclusives, Dan.
Oh, my goodness. What they are doing with this. I know there's been some people that have not been thrilled about it. In fact, there was a rather prolific article from a major website talking about how they don't like this unboxing thing, which you and I really haven't talked about it. But essentially, on Wednesday, the week 2 days before Force Friday, they're taking some of the more popular YouTube channels based on the amount of views and downloads, and they are taking turns around the world, starting in Australia, ending at Lucasfilm in San Francisco, and they're just taking turns opening the new merchandise so people can see it live on Star Wars' YouTube page, and I think that is absolutely genius.
Yeah, well, it gives a chance to showcase some of the stuff that's coming out, and, you know, fans and folks are welcome to, you know, obviously not get online and check the stuff out. I mean, you have to click to get to it to be able to see it happen. But I think also it just shows the gravity of Star Wars fandom worldwide. It really is a global event.
Any other franchise that would do this and actually get away with it?
You know, Marvel's pretty huge recently with all the films and such.
But the merchandise isn't like,
right.
I mean, it's cool. It's fun. But this has a whole other... you know, it resonates in a much different way.
It does. And as we communicate online, as folks engage in conversation about what's coming out and what's going on, you know, they're just taking advantage of that. And I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I personally...
Are you going to tune in?
I was just going to say, I personally don't think I'm going to tune in. I'm gonna savor my own experiences for myself. Of course, Thursday night, so...
Yes. Well, I'm the first one is going to be if you take the Australia time and change it to Central Time, United States, which is where we're located since we're in Illinois. I believe it's 3:30 on Wednesday, which is tomorrow, when they're going to unbox the first thing. So you're telling me that if I see the picture of the first official unboxing, you don't want me to send the picture to you?
No, please don't.
okay, I will.
Well, I
respect that.
Well, it's the thing is, I mean, we talked a lot about this too. This is a big event coming out. You know what we want to, because we want to be prepared. There's some certain kind of some preparedness to this.
There is.
You know, you want to get your cash in hand and be able to get to the right store and get the right exclusive you want to get. And then, of course, not engaging into some of the spoilers out there, folks who are getting stuff early or posting pictures in their aisle. Some stores have put out stuff early. It's up to you. We've talked about this a lot, spoilers and what to do and what you want to do. And it's up to every other fan who want to make that choice and cross, you know, their own threshold of just fandom in general. And you know, I'm excited to check it out. I want to see what's coming out, but I also want to be... I just want to enjoy it too, but I want to assume too is through the technology I'll be able to go back and see, rewatch some of those episodes on those channels, of course, and you still be able to take it in and see people's reactions as they're opening them, how they describe them, and maybe I'll have that you know that package in hand, you know, and I can kind of like, oh, I didn't see that, or they really pointed something out that I didn't, you know, see when I opened my own figure or something. So it gives a different it's interesting because it's just an interesting way to do it, to be able to promote it, but also I think for myself I'm gonna kind of step out. So
no, I respect that clearly, and I know what you mean, because and we're gonna get into this later with the Disney Infinity discussion, but when I went searching on Sunday for Disney Infinity figures, I was out at Walmart. Yeah, a local Walmart around here. There's a bunch of them around here. They're like Starbucks anymore. But I saw on the shelf the 15-inch figure of Kylo Ren and Captain Phasma.
Yes.
And I wasn't expecting to see that. And I'm going to talk about this now because by the time this show is released, it'll be Force Friday. And people will have seen this too. So it's not a spoiler by the time you're hearing this. But when I saw those images... I was so excited. I felt like it was 2005 and I was seeing Revenge of the Sith figures for the first time. I could not believe it. I took pictures. I sent them to you. I sent them around to other people I know who would be interested in that kind of thing. I was just through the moon because I wasn't expecting to see it. So what you're just essentially describing is you want to walk down to a toy aisle and see these things for the first time. And dude, it blew me away. I know it's going to blow you away too. So let's look at more specifically what the Force Friday guide is.
Sure. Available
on StarWars.com. Amazon.com is going to have a bunch of exclusives. They're going to have a giveaway of the Star Wars Legendary Jedi Master Yoda collector thing. Have you seen this? It's like a figure of Yoda that moves around and is posable. I got to say, super creepy.
It's a little strange. It looks like he's...
I might probably freak out.
It's kind of cool. He looks like he's little... his face
like
is a little...
Chuck dressed up as Yoda.
His face looks a little bit like statuesque, where he's staring at you. If he's like, follow you around the room if you're looking at him. You know, I don't know. It's odd. It's odd expression on his face. Let's give it that.
Interesting. Well, so I guess I'm not going to be going for that one. And hey, and if you do and you like it, let us know. Send us a review. We'd be happy to hear it, and we'd be happy to be to show. Otherwise, that's good. Disney Store's got a lot of cool stuff going on. Times Square, Chicago, and Michigan Avenue, which I wish I could go to, but I'll be teaching, and San Francisco. They're all going to have Force Friday Madness, special toys and collectibles, all kinds of cool stuff. The first 1,000 guests are going to get a free Force Awakens D23 commemorative poster. Nothing wrong with that. What else we got going on here? Numerous events going on. R2 craft activity, Star Wars story time, art of drawing R2-D2, free Topps vintage trading card giveaway. Nothing wrong with that.
Woohoo!
The Disney parks have, you mentioned this when we started talking about this, mm-hmm. that Force Friday messenger bag. That is cool.
Yeah, you mentioned that when we kind of clicked on the link earlier, and it's unique. It's something that's one of a kind.
I like that logo, Force Friday.
Yeah, it's cool. But the thing is, like, they've never done a Force Friday. Somebody had a friend of mine at work had asked me about, what's going on with this Friday thing? Is this like a Black Friday thing or something? I was like, no, it's like something they've never done before. This is, you know, hopefully this is a tradition that carries through, you know, the other films as well. You know, having a Force Friday before, you know, a new film would be pretty cool. And, you know, items like this messenger bag and some of this other giveaway stuff, it's unique to, you know, the folks that are in those regions and can get those stores and grab that stuff up. And it just makes for a great experience.
Right. It's cool. And while we're scrolling through this, I do want to correct myself earlier. The first unboxing is in Sydney, Australia. It's at 7:45 local time, Australia. And I do know we have a lot of listeners down under, so they will certainly get excited about that. But for us, it's going to be 2:45 Pacific time, which is basically 4:45 Central Time, 5:45 Eastern Time. That's all on Wednesday, September 2nd. So tomorrow, the time we're recording this. So that's fun. Mm. Then it ends on Thursday, September 3rd at Lucasfilm, and that is at 8 in the morning Pacific Time. So very, very, very cool. And I want to give a shout-out to Torpedo Ted and a lot of our listeners out there who, when we – one of the things that's so great, and we talked about this before, is – we say, hey, we're interested in this, and people go out and they help us out, and we do the PayPal thing and take care of them because that's the right thing to do. But it's really, really nice. So I don't know, man. I may put out the call to get this messenger bag. I'm not sure. What about you?
I'll probably pass on it, but, you know, there's all kinds of stuff out there that is interesting and collectible. Like you mentioned, our good friend Torpedo Ted had snatched up one of those D23 exclusive posters, and you give me the little handoff there the other day, and it is incredible. It's one of my favorite pieces right now. It's something I never thought I would get. That's put
people
it that
are
way.
Critiquing that poster. What? How do you feel about that? Like saying it's not his best work, or Han Solo's proportion weird in the bottom. I don't see that at all. I'm not an artist, but I think it's beautiful.
Drew Zan has always been a favorite of mine. He's an incredible artist. If you get a chance, I don't know if it's still on Netflix. There's kind of like a biography on him and how he got started and how he got into Star Wars and all the other film pieces that he's done. He's an incredible talent. He's a true icon in film and Star Wars. And his work is iconic along with the films.
So you don't have a problem with where Han Solo's placed?
No. It's exactly where he wanted to put it. I mean,
that's a good point.
The way he wants to do it, I know that the images
it's
he
like
gets...
It's like arguing with where Shakespeare puts a comma.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it is. I mean, how are you going to tell him, you know, well, no, this has to be red or this has to be orange? I mean, there's certain things, yes. There's images he's going off of. There's shots that they want to use, an organization they want to use. But, you know, as an artist, I believe they give them that leeway. They understand that. I think Lucasfilm and maybe J.J. Abrams is giving some art direction in some sense. But, you know, he's the artist. He knows that he's going to do a good job. He knows that he's going to do his best work. Now, is this the best piece he's ever done? I can't compare it to the other pieces. They're different pieces. They're different time frames. He was in a different mindset in those pieces as well. This is just another, blockbuster poster to put right up of his catalog of galley of work.
It is.
So it's definitely it's something I had to have because I just really enjoy his work. And I knew it was something
all
that...
thanks to Torpedo too.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I was like, to reach out to fans and have the Bible technology to reach out to folks who were there and want to, you know, send stuff our way and be gracious enough to help us out. I think that's great. I think that's just the power of fandom right there.
And he was kind enough to give me a couple of the vinyl missions because I love vinyl missions. I love Rebels. So I was hoping to get a Kanan and a Hera. I got two Heras, mm-hmm. So not a terrible thing. I can always hunt online for eBay for a Kanan, but at this current time recording, he's a little pricey. So enough of that. We are going to save money for Force Friday, which again is you'll be hearing today if you're downloading it when we release this. Corey, let's talk about our specific plans as a show and as fans for Force Friday. What are we doing?
Yeah, we got nailed down the time about 10 o'clock p.m. We're going to jump in the old Danmobile and truck on to our local Target. That's kind of the one we've centered on, just being local to us and seems to have good display. They've actually done a really good job of promoting Force Friday through some of the outlets they've had. So I feel like there's a good vibe there.
They've got on the carousel just for checking out, mm-hmm. getting groceries. They've got the Star Wars.
Yeah,
scroll.
Yeah, that's Force cool.
Friday. I mean, how often do you see that? You don't.
Yeah, it's
the reason I'm there. Oh, go ahead.
Well,
I'm so excited.
I'm very excited. I've thought about this all week. I'm calling this my Star Wars week. So I'm trying to post things. We'll get into that later on with some of the stuff we got already as far as Star Wars items. But, you know, having a plan has always been a case for me. I want to make sure I have everything in my ducks in a row. And like you mentioned, it's nervous. You kind of talked me down off the ledge a little bit of where I was like, I don't know if I can, get in line. I'll be honest, this is my first, reveal of this nature going out in a midnight exclusive for anything, really. I've never gone to the video game store and bought, midnight video games when they release, or I've gone to movie releases, of course, but this is a different nature of this. Sure. It reminds me of a Black Friday of, Thanksgiving. I've done that stuff before, too, and that, it just doesn't sit with me right. It feels like it's a little bit grabby, if you will. I don't know how else to describe it.
You think it's like the mid 80s and people are going for Cabbage Patch Kids?
Yeah, I'd rather get my fingers stepped on. Yeah,
yeah. No, you won't. You won't. I went for the one for episode 1 and 3. I've been to all kinds of midnight stuff for Harry Potter, for the films, of Star Wars, for merchandise, whatever. I live for this kind of thing. It's a lot of fun. And now I get to do it through the lens of coffee with Kenobi and talk to other people. So if you're in the Peoria area and you're going to go to the Target, you should send us a DM. But I guess I don't even know why I'm saying this, because by the time you download this, it will already have happened. But if you have a time machine, that's what you need to do. One of the reasons I narrowed down Target is because they have incredible coupons. If you spend $25, you get $10 off. If you spend $100, you get $25 off. So you can get $100 worth of merchandise for $75. That's a deal.
That is a deal. We talked about getting money together. I sent you a picture of my change bucket.
That was so cool. Your family totally pitched in.
It was cool. I talked to my wife about it. And we kind of, I had some money saved up and stuff like that. She's like, just grab all the change around the house. And I ended up coming up with some good numbers to be able to get some decent stuff. But you and I kind of talked about this before, too. Whether you have $5 or you've got, $500. Mm-hmm. It's about that experience and having that moment and purchasing something that's, for me, I guess it's purchasing something that hits me right in the gut a little bit, as far as what's coming out and what's going to be on the shelves, and I think that's part of it. Not looking at the spoiler nature of all the stuff that's out there, be able to experience it right then and there, and say that's what I got that day, and have it up on my shelf later on and play it or whatever, and show my kids, and they'll be excited, and I'm sure I'll maybe pick something up for them. Who knows? It's just whatever. I love going with roll the punches. So I'm excited. You're excited.
I will say this too. I want to put this on Twitter, but when you're at Force Friday, if you were talking to people or you want to record your thoughts or send us your thoughts, please do, and we'll play them on the next show, because this is about, this is where the fun begins. This is where we want to hear what you have to say. Report on where Force Friday is for you in your area, and we'll be happy to share it on our next show. For our next news story, we want to talk about some appearances we've had recently on a couple of other podcasts. We were on Podcasting 101 and we were on Film Matters, both very different genres, both very different subjects. Of course, they centered around Star Wars, and they were a blast. Corey, what's the difference between these two?
Yeah, Podcasting 101 was obviously talking about podcasting, the nature of the medium, getting into it, the experiences we've had so far, and just be able, you know, being co-hosts and reporting on Star Wars like we do, and anybody who's out there looking to get into podcasting, kind of the technical details or some of the, you know, things to bone up on a little bit. It's just some tips and tricks that we've learned along the way. Dan, we're not perfect by any means, and we constantly are upgrading our software and talking to other podcasters and collaborating with other folks. So, I mean, it's definitely a learning experience. We've got a little over 2 years under our belts, and we're still constantly learning things and like realizing things. Oh, we should do this next time or do that next time. So it's still moving parts and evolved. But if you're interested in podcasting, go check it out. Tell us what you think and, you know, experience. And if by any means, I'm all about, you know, if you've got an idea for a podcast, just do it. Just go, because you've got something special to say about your love and your interests. So be able to go out there and broadcast that. I'm all for it. Very cool.
Yeah, and it's a great show because it was fun for us because we talked about it's very behind the scenes of Coffee with Kenobi, what goes into producing the show and making the show and marketing it and all the fun stuff that is involved there. If you're interested at all in starting your own podcast or learning more about what we do, and we emphasize family first and friendship first, and I think that comes through well, so that was fun. So thank you again. That was so cool. We're also on Film Matters, which is a show which talks that they take different films and they talk about it through the lens of faith. And they dissect the films, and their second episode was about Star Wars. So they asked us on, and we're both not, you know, we're not going to shy away from our faith and the fact that we're Christian. And it was fun to talk about. It was fun to combine two things that are very near and dear to us. So we had a great time with that. There will be links to these in the show notes, so feel free to check them out. And before we move on, Corey, anything you want to say about that one?
Yeah, it was a different experience. And we've been on a couple other different podcasts, obviously around Star Wars. But these two were different because it was different subject matter, a different mindset, if you will. And we rarely talk about, you know, intimate things here on the show. We try to keep it all Star Wars, and of course the topics at hand. But no, it's a different angle to us. If you're interested in kind of know us a little more personality wise, one of the things that make us tick, check those out. And let us know what you think as far as, you know, the podcasts themselves and of course about us and what else we can do.
Han Solo, Rebel Soldier, Lando Calrissian, and Bespin Guard each sold separately from Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back Collection, new from Kenner.
Looking? Found someone you have, I would say,
Your lightsabers will make a fine addition to my collection.
Our first bit of collector's news, Dan, Force Friday's obviously coming up, and we're excited for this, but there are some items that have come out before that, and you know, I'm always the type of person, I want to make sure I've got a rolling list in my mind of what I want to get. You know, of course, with the with the advent of the Force Awakens announcement, I knew there would be certain things coming out that, you know, kind of go along with Star Wars and the new films. Of course, the new poster, of course, by Drew Struzan is, you know, was top of the list for me. And I got that, the D23 one. I'm hoping he comes out with something that's an official poster for the film. I'd definitely pick that up as well. That was, you know, up there. But there's other things, you know, I'm not a huge collector, so it's hard for me to like pick and choose. I'll have to see what, you know, Force Friday brings. Of course, we'll have come and gone by this recording. But there was something else. I really have a huge fandom for Rebels. I'm a big fan of that show. I love it. We've talked to numerous of the cast members. I'm just jazzed up about it. I love it. It's so much fun. And they recently came out with the Infinity figures for the video game series.
Disney Infinity 3.0.
Yeah, it's a brand new edition, man. It's all got Star Wars figures.
And it's amazing. And you talked about Rebels. There was one thing we've talked about when they showed the sculpt of these characters. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of them I always knew the Yoda one was, to me, perfection. I could not wait to get my hands on him. And I did. But there's one main one that you and I just were like, we've got to find. Who was that?
That was Kanan.
Of course. How could it be anyone but Kanan?
Yeah, he's just grown on me so much over the last year or so from Rebels. Just because... I don't know.
It's
you
Freddy,
just,
man.
It's Freddy. Maybe it is Freddy.
That is what it is for me. Freddy and the character.
Well, that's what it is. Blend. I mean, it's a good blend. I like the character himself. He brings so much to the Jedi way, in a sense, that I haven't realized. And that is part on Freddy's part. And of course, Dave's part too, writing the scripts and such and writing the characters. But, you know, I'm not a big collector. This was something that we talked about before. And I kind of had my mind to get it, and you went out and got it, right?
Yeah, this is what happened. This is on Sunday, they came out at midnight, and I was scrolling through Twitter. I couldn't sleep. I was actually thinking about Disney. But I was thinking about it. I was pretty pumped, and I looked on Twitter, and I saw that people already had Kanan. And then as you start to scroll through and you start to find out more, you realize the Rebels cast, they're exclusives. Kanan can only be found at Walmart. Sabine can only be found at Target. Zeb can only be found at GameStop. And Ezra can only be found at Toys R Us. Notice no Hera, but I'm sure she's going to come out in some sort of Rebels pack later. Let's hope. So I originally wasn't sure if I was crazy about the Kanan sculpt. And then I saw the image again in the store, and I thought, yeah, I got to have that. So I told my wife, look, I'm going to go out and I'm going to see this new stuff that's out. I know we're very fortunate Disney is sending us a care package of Disney Infinity. But I was pretty sure they weren't going to send us exclusives. I also saw that Target had a deal where you could get two Disney Infinity figures for $20. Normally they're $13.95 or $14.95, depending on where you look. So I went to Walmart, and there was one Kanan left. And there was a bunch of Obi-Wans, a bunch of Yoda. So I was walking around holding Kanan, saw those Force Awakens things that aren't supposed to be out that we talked about previously. So I did one of my old tricks, Corey, and you know what that is?
What's that?
I walked down the aisle to a very random toy selection, and I picked WWE figures, and I hid Kanan behind those figures, right? And knowing that I was coming back. So I went to Target to see what they had, and all they had was Obi-Wan and Yoda, and I thought, if I get two for 20, and I actually texted you and Jeff McGee about this, so I get two for 20 here and not get Kanan, or go back to Walmart and get Kanan and pay $14 for him. And then I had a thought, Corey. The Force was with me, and I thought, maybe Walmart price matches. So I got out my handy-dandy phone, and I found the ad for Target that said 2 for 20. Drove back to Walmart, went down the toilet, went by the WWE figures, got out the Kanan, and went up to and found Yoda. So I had Kanan and Yoda in my hand, and I thought, can I pull this off? Can I possibly get these 2 for 20? And the lady was kind enough to price match, and it happened. Nice. So I was crazy pumped, very pumped. I even opened them up, and I got to be honest, when I opened them up, I sort of died a little inside, as I do when I open up my stuff. But my little boy wanted to see it happen, and I did too. So it was worth it. They were amazing. I sent pictures to you, and I'd like to think I helped to kind of light a spark in you.
You did, because I was really on the edge of getting this figure, because, like I said, the sculpt was great. I love the character himself. I don't have the game, so I can't play the game with him. So I definitely want to get that now that I have got Kanan. But my experience was just that, Dan. Your little text and, of course, the pictures you sent were kind of a boost to jump in and take the dive and go see if I can find him. That was the other thing, too. I was like, I wonder if I can find him because it's been a couple of days.
And that's part of the fun, isn't it? Like,
it is.
He's rare. I got to get him. I don't have a choice.
Well, I'm also glad you told me that it was exclusive at Walmart. I didn't realize that. So I was able to get out and get that. So,
you said you had a funny story about it.
I did. So I went out to Walmart and looking through figures, and there was four of them there. So I was like, okay, so he's here. And I picked him up and kind of like, you know, you walk around the store with something, you're not sure, you're kind of still debating, you're just holding on to it. So I did something you did, walk down the toy aisle where they had the display of Star Wars figures. It was empty. Of course, I had the 12 inch. Captain Phasma, and then Kylo Ren. Which, can we talk about the stature of Captain Phasma for a second?
Sure, let's do it.
She was towering a little bit.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
I don't know if that was just the package. Maybe it was the packaging. I didn't look at it super hard.
Or the scale. I don't know if it's a scale or what. Mm.
But it was just impressive to me. I was like, oh, okay, these are pretty cool. And that was actually the first packaging I'd seen in the wild, if you will, of some of the new stuff. So I was like, oh, this is cool. I was like, oh, this is happening. But I happened to see a gentleman walking just out of the aisle as I was going in. Quick glance, and he was walking out as I was going in. But I ended up deciding to get Kanan, so I walked to the front and went to check out, and the gentleman was in front of me. About my age, he was ruggedly handsome, possibly, and I can't not say that because he reminded me of myself.
Sure.
And I popped the Kanan figure on the conveyor there to check out, and what's in front of that? Another Kanan. I was like, well, that's cool. I kind of got the guy's attention.
Was it a mirror?
No, it wasn't a mirror. It was he was getting Kanan as well, and I kind of got his attention. And I said, hey, you're getting him one as well, and he's like, oh yeah. And I was like, it was just that moment of like you understood each other. It was like a different language, I said, hey, you going out Thursday night? And he's like, oh, I'm not totally sure. I don't know if I'm do yet. I said I'm definitely going with my buddy of mine, and we're gonna go check everything out just for the fun of it, just the experience. He's like, yeah.
Did you mention the show?
I wish I would have. I was kind of caught up in the moment. And I kicking myself. I should have had one of our business cards to throw
away. I need
to
carry those around too.
I need to throw some of my wallet or something. And I didn't come up. I didn't want to. I say, hey, podcast. It just wasn't the right timing. So
I do that all the time.
That's the difference between you and I. That's a good difference.
So, the only difference.
It was kind of like the nod, the silent nod, and the oh yeah, he's gonna probably go check out. He said, and obviously use the extra day of Labor Day to sleep in, and I kind of joked about that for a second. But he was off on his own, and I was like, that was a cool moment to have, just a small fraction of a second there. Fans kind of, understood, the chase, if you will, to get this figure. So it was cool, a lot of fun.
From Topps, it's the all-new Star Wars Topps Digital Trading Card app. You can collect, you can trade, find your favorite moments. Just incredible. And Corey, for Force Friday, all-new cards for The Force Awakens. And we've seen them.
Yeah, it's something cool. I was hoping they would do something exciting for the app itself. They've done a great job of putting out new sets, a lot of new things out there. If you guys haven't got a chance to check this app out, go check it out. There's all kinds of different characters. There's all kinds of different sets, whatever you like to go for them. There's exclusives. There's the like countdown packs.
There's that all new I Am where you can get sort of the front of like Vader and Stormtrooper and Yoda and all kinds of cool stuff. Are you going for that set?
No, actually, I am not. I have to say, I have to save my daily credits. You have to kind of disseminate what you want and what you don't want. And I think that's cool. I mean, I think that's an interesting way to do it, because then if you don't get the card you want by buying, purchasing packs with the credits, you can trade, which is, I think, an awesome way to do stuff. I mean, if I'm looking for something, I can go on the little fan feed there and type in what I want. And a lot of folks out there are willing to trade as well. I mean, there's the kind of lingo you kind of got to get used to. But, once you got that down and you're trading cards and you're getting bonus points, and it's a lot of fun. And you and I have traded a lot of stuff. We kind of text back and forth and said, hey, we're looking for
this set. I love the classic card series.
Oh, my gosh. They look great. They look so cool.
But these Force Friday cards for The Force Awakens, stunning images of Kylo Ren and Finn and Poe. They're just fantastic. Poe Dameron. So check them out. Be sure to jump in on the excitement that is the Star Wars Topps Digital Trading Card app, available right now on Google Play and iTunes.
Luke, you're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
I must be allowed to speak.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Our topic for show number 43 is your most compelling and significant Star Wars moments. What quotes or scenes deserve the most analysis and reflection? This is your chance to provide your commentary on pivotal dialogue, plot points, or whatever inspires you to think more deeply about Star Wars. Joining us on this topic is the Cantina Cast. We'll join Mike and Joa for part two of this long overdue crossover. we had the privilege of appearing on episode 34, the infamous Christmas special, and we broadcast live with them at Celebration Anaheim. We always have a blast with our podcasting brothers, and this will be no exception. Welcome back, Mike and Joa.
Oh, it's great to be back. And you know, I'm going to have a nightmare later tonight because of that Christmas.
I just got to say the same thing. I remember that. That was a blast.
No, it was not a blast. I still cringe over that. And I think actually the holiday special George Lucas did was better than that thing that we did, Joa. And I completely blame Joa on that whole disaster. But thank you. It's good to be back.
Yes, it's wonderful. We had such a... Joa, let's hear your voice.
Hello there.
There he is. There he is. We had such a fun time with you two in Anaheim. Didn't see you near as much as we would have liked, but anybody who was in Celebration knows what a crazy and wonderful experience that is. But we had a blast broadcasting with you two live, and it's just good to see our brothers face-to-face, so we're glad to be doing this again.
Well, that was quite a trip. And like I said, like you said, Dan, it kind of like everything, that was a little overwhelming for me because that was my first Celebration. And it was like the second time I covered it, an event for like a media type of thing. But that was just, I don't know, there was just so much and so much to do, so many people to see. It was crazy. I'm surprised we actually even got to see you guys because it was just crazy at the time. But in any case.
Well, actually, just seeing you guys that first day, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, right, it was a little weird.
Right after the trailer. Like we're looking up, we're on the stage, and then I look up and I see Mike and Joa smiling, and I just felt like we're home, you know? Seriously.
Joa, we're home.
It was great.
Yeah, it was weird, though, because like I feel like I've said this to Joa, because it was the first time I met Joa, and that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But it's like it didn't. There was no really awkwardness. It was kind of like, yeah, well, we kind of know each other. So it wasn't weird. Like even when I saw you guys, I'm like, oh, hey, how you guys doing? You know, it just didn't seem
totally
weird.
Agree.
Yeah, like it seemed like we'd been friends for ages. It seemed like to me.
I agree. Well, gentlemen, as you know, we put a call out to our listeners, and we did some stuff on Twitter. And the task was essentially to find things that were compelling. And obviously on both of our shows, we like to dissect and analyze Star Wars through a critical lens. But this is an opportunity for people to give us specific things they'd like to hear us talk about and provide their feedback. And we've got a number of them, and we'll just kind of go through some of the ones the listeners sent. And then the four of us came up with one. We actually came up with two each, but there's no way with as long-winded as we all are that we're going to be able to get through these and have it be a normal show. So we'll just kind of start here. And the first one that we have that a listener submitted to us was they want us to talk about the Chosen One prophecy. Joa, why don't we start with you and try to keep your answer under 3 years.
3 years? Yes. Man, I'm going to have to – well, anyway, I guess, you know, where are we going to start this off at? Like I always go back to what exactly is the prophecy?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about this last night because when I saw on Twitter right before I fell asleep, and I think I was kind of like half dreaming about it, like what I wanted to talk about with it. And it always comes back to me is, you know, bringing balance to the Force and mm-hmm. destroying the Sith, I think are two separate things that got muddled for the Jedi. And so that's where I think I kind of lean towards because – you know, Mace, when Qui-Gon presents the idea in episode one, Mace says, you speak of the one who was supposed to bring balance to the Force. And then Obi-Wan tells Anakin as he watches him roast in episode three, you know, it was said you would destroy the Sith, not join them. Mm-hmm. So those are two very separate ideas to me. And, you know, we go back to where Mace and Yoda and Obi-Wan are talking in episode three, misread the prophecy might have been. So I guess I'll just start it right there. Like
it's a good place to start. Corey, let's go to you. We're going to go, we'll go Cantina Coffee. Let's try that. Corey, take it away.
Yeah. You know, that's one of those things we don't hear about too much in the original trilogy, you know,
at all.
So I always reach back to kind of my first thinking about it and how it was kind of perceived in the prequels, like Joa mentioned. It's like we talked a couple shows ago, or it was our last show about the alignment of religious aspects and the Chosen One and the implications mm-hmm. there. It's very similar to that. And I never, when I was a kid watching it, I always assumed it was Luke, you know, of course the original trilogy. So, you know, as far as we've seen so far, 4, 5, and 6, it's kind of that Luke is, we assume Luke was that Chosen One. But the prequels opened the door a little wider, obviously, and showed that Anakin is that one. And it's it's almost divine in a sense where it's, I don't know, it's so odd for me because the way it was told, where it was, we get to see Vader later on and then we see him growing up as Anakin. So it's hard to see that even in episode one, like you mentioned, he's before the Jedi temple there and trying to explain that he's the chosen one, or I believe he's the chosen one. And I feel like the Jedi were almost kind of like, nah, it's not big. There's no way this is the kid, the one. They're giving him flashcards and stuff. And I feel like that's almost like they're not, don't believe him. They don't want to go along with it because they don't believe the prophecy themselves.
Well, since when is looking at the outline of a cup on a screen make you a Jedi? Because if that's true, we're all in trouble. Mike, what do you think?
Well, it all depends. And now I'm going to have flashbacks of flashcards when I was a kid trying to do my math problems and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I hate math. Oh, those are nightmares. I have two nightmares coming my way tonight. But anyway, it depends on your point of view because, you know, Mace says, you know, you're going to bring balance to the Force. And Qui-Gon, if I remember right, is saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan's saying the Sith. And as it evolves, it turns into, you know, destroying the Sith. Now, the Sith, they already thought was long gone for 1,000 years. So what is he going to do? Do they always think the Sith is going to pop out of the closet one day and say boo or something? I don't know. And then it goes back to Mortis, because Mortis, it seems like any Force-using group or sect, if you want to call it that, which plays in The Force Awakens later on, I think, in some point. But it's like they each have their own idea of what the chosen one was, or well, who's going to bring balance, who's going to do this and stuff like that. And later on, when I get into my Yoda thing with the Clone Wars thing, we'll get into a little bit more. But for me, I always, and then even when you go, well, I can mention this part of it with Yoda in the at that arc there in the Lost Missions where he comes back and he's at peace and everything. He knows there's going to be another Skywalker. I guess I could bring it up now.
Sure.
Why not? Is because Yoda, you know, he finds out there'll be another Skywalker and he's at peace at that, you know, he's like, all right, everything's going to go to kaput and I don't really care anymore. So what? Big deal. And everyone's looking at him like, dude, what's going on? And he's like, well, there's another path and there's going to be, in his mind, he didn't come out and say there'll be another Skywalker to bring balance or whatever. But, you know, then you get to Empire Strikes Back and he's trying to resistant to training Luke, you know, too old, this, that, and the other thing. And he's holding out to, you know, there is another chosen one. There's another, you know, and we, you know, originally we thought that was Leia, but maybe it isn't Leia. Maybe it's something that plays into The Force Awakens or something. I don't mean to go into that slippery slope with you there, Dan, but yeah. You know, I'm just saying.
You already slipped.
I know a little bit. I just, you know, tease a little bit. But the thing is, so what does it really mean at the end of the day? And we're all going to still scratch our heads because even George, I'll get a little critical here. He opened the door. He gave himself an out, as we like to say, as we did when we were doing our dissection of I think the chosen one, Joe. I don't know. We did so many things that who knows what it is. But I know we've talked about it where I said, well, he gave himself an out where, you know, Mace says, Yoda says, misread the prophecy. And I personally, I think that's it. That's what happened. So then at the end of the day, you scratch your head. Well, is it Luke that's the chosen one or is it someone? Yeah, go ahead, Dan. Take over, Dan.
No problem. Here's the thing. The whole, obviously, we all know as Star Wars historians and diehard fans that when that said, no, there is another, Lucas wasn't 100% sure of that. He just wanted to leave it open. And then the Leia thing evolved shortly thereafter that. So anything beyond that is redacted from a very critical, literal sense. Now, obviously, as a teacher of literature, I realize that there's more that can be done. And can we really paint this entire tapestry with one stroke? Without having all the information, not really. We can say this. The Chosen One prophecy clearly states that he's going to bring balance to the Force and destroy the Sith. And he does. He gets rid of the Emperor. Case closed.
So
true, but, yeah. But evil didn't leave the galaxy in a way.
No, so. Well, that's not balance. If there's all good true. Or all evil, that's not balance.
But even if the Emperor's destroyed and the Sith are destroyed, essentially, because, you know, Vader's gone, now there's just one Jedi left. Or technically two, if you want to count, you know, Leia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still not balanced. That means there's more light now, which is always a problem. Because,
maybe.
Well, as we've discussed before, you know, the Force, as I like to say, has its own mind and no one has any free will or anything like that. But, and Joe gets mad at me because it's very disturbing.
Sounds like nihilism, yeah.
Yeah, he gets very upset about it. But here's the thing. There's always that balance. It's always shifting. So at one point, there's a lot of darkness, and then at another point, there's a lot of light. But you can't have too much of a good thing, so to speak. You got to have that balance. And now it seems after that happens, after the Emperor goes away and the Sith go away, it seems like all right, there's a shift into the light, or it's in this limbo phase, which it you know, it's not a spoiler. I think we all kind of know, you know, it's kind of this Cold War. All right, you go over here and I'm going to go over here and we'll just keep it this way and we'll call each other names now and then type of thing. But it, and eventually something obviously awakens, and now we're going into this, you know, survival of the fittest, I guess you could say. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's fascinating, and I also think that if there's going to be balance to get rid of Sith and Vader, that means that the pendulum had swung too much one direction. But to just sort of balance, there has to be a little bit of darkness and light, which clearly, as we'll see in a few days, Aftermath should help illuminate for us. So it'll be fun to see. And just for the interest of this, I mean, this could be our whole show right here. We really ought to do that. But in the spirit of this, and obviously you guys are going to, we're going to have to be better about being on each other's shows, because this is already an absolute blast. Don't you agree, Corey?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's good stuff. Well,
it's always a fun time, because we always, I don't know, the when we talk, it always goes into weird ways, like you guys are thinking your way, and we kind of go, it comes into this weird way where we're all scratching our heads at the end of the day, I love.
Which is the best part about it.
I think that our shows are more similar than maybe listeners out there
realize
mm-hmm. because they're like, hey, you know, those. I mean, I think me and Mike are a little bit more goofy and off the wall every once in a while. not that you guys aren't entertaining. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying that it's a different dynamic when me and Mike get together than when you and Corey do it. But I think at the end of the day, the stuff that we like to talk about, I think, is the same stuff. And I guess you could say, well, you're all talking about Star Wars, mm-hmm. but not really, not from the same perspective. I think we're kind of all on the same little boat of that little niche of a Star Wars thing. And, you know, sometimes me and Mike go off the rails and talk about other stuff and, you know, maybe something y'all don't necessarily do from time to time, which we'll get into on our show. but I think at the end of the day, what we really like to do is dissect and, you know, cut the sternum open and really get in there and dig around and see what's going on. And, you know, so.
Right. And speaking of sternums, but not at all. And I agree with you, by the way. Let's go to the opera scene. The opera scene to me is a poignant, beautiful scene. While it's being enacted, and I think that Ian McDiarmid clearly could have gotten an Oscar nomination just for that scene alone for Best Supporting Actor, as you're seeing these amoebas and blobby things in the opera, almost like it's literally showing what birth is like through a microscope. It's like they're planting these seeds in Anakin's mind that are going to be cemented and change the course of the galaxy forever. You're talking about a gorgeous scene. And Mike, I'll just throw it to you. We'll go the opposite direction this time. What are your impressions of the opera scene?
Well, it's funny because it's a great scene, and I loved it because, you know, the Emperor's, well, I guess Sidious, we should say, is there, and he's feeding all these things, and just the way he does it is just so, it's awesome. And even Anakin, Hayden Christensen at the time, it was done very well. It's a very good scene between the two of them, but I always laugh because I'm saying, how do you not, and it goes even to the Jedi, how do you people not know that he's the bad guy? I don't understand how you cannot see this, but in any case.
He does, but he doesn't.
Yeah, well,
he doesn't want to.
Correct. You could point out like he's kind of figured it out, but then he's trying to figure out, well, do I need this guy? And should I go with his knowledge type of thing? You kind of get that hint that Anakin knows, and he just didn't really kind of let everyone else know until later on. And I don't know. It was a very interesting scene, and the way they go back and forth, and it was just a cool scene. What can I say about it? It was awesome. And plus, you had George Lucas, you know, sitting out in front there when he
in
runs
blue.
Into the thing. Yeah, the Papa, whatever, I forget his name is there.
Smurf?
But, pretty much. He was the Smurf. But go ahead, guys.
Corey, what about you?
Yeah, this scene was always kind of diabolical to me as far as like the Emperor kind of showing his true colors, like you said, Mike. He's given a little bit of a secret away, and I don't think he cares in a sense where like he's got a feel out for what Anakin's doing and obviously takes him underneath his wing. And this is where he kind of displays kind of background the Sith. We haven't heard a whole lot of Sith up until this point, you know, their background, where they come from. He brings apart Darth Plagueis, which is a dynamic figure in itself. Still mysterious in his own way, apart from the Legends book. But, you know, it just it shows the true variations of the Sith and what their their sect are looking to do opposed to the Jedi. You know, he brings it right up in front of his face, you know, and Anakin brings up his concerns and his dreams and things like that and his worries. And in this moment, you know, he's really confided in Sidious, and it's almost like they're having psychology lesson of you know, sitting on the couch type thing where, you know, I'm going to kind of help you through your worries and tell you everything's okay, and but not the way the Jedi would. And this is like his first, this is his first step to the dark side, I think. This is his first switch where he really starts putting things together and making his bad choices.
Joe, what about you?
Well, this is arguably, and the only person I argue with is myself, because it's probably my favorite scene in the movie.
I beg to differ. There's a few people you kind of argue with, but we'll leave it at that.
Well, with this particular thing, like, I have to argue with myself, is this my favorite scene in all of Star Wars? Because it very well could be. And they played this at the Ian McDiarmid panel in Anaheim. They stopped, like, they in the middle of it, like, they played this. And everybody watched, everybody clapped. And they went to this scene. They didn't show from Return of the Jedi. They didn't, you know, they didn't show from episode 1, 2 or, you know, or Return of the Jedi. They showed from that movie, that this is the scene they showed and they chose to show. And Corey brings up a good point to me. You know, this is the first time we've kind of heard like about the Sith. To me, it just speaks of lore, and I love it. And that's what I love. And me and Mike, you know, we talk every day, we're texting, and he knows above all else, I love the lore, the like the little stuff that's going to make the movie and make the details and make the new movies even. It's just, I just love the lore aspect that Palpatine is speaking to him. And Plagueis is he's a cult favorite basically at this point. You had the guy at the San Diego Comic-Con. He asked JJ if he was going to be in the movie in some way. And just from scouring the internet, I'm not going to hurt your ears, Dan, but there's
or our listeners.
I'm just saying people want Plagueis. They would love Plagueis to be in this movie. Obviously JJ said he's not, but I'm saying that's the reason that guy asked. That was a major want out there, not a rumor, nothing else. It was just something people want it to be a rumor. People want it to be real. Not everybody. There are people out there that are not jiving with it. They're like, yeah, you know, Plagueis, whatever. He was mentioned. Who cares about him? But there's a sect of fans out there that really are intrigued by this guy. So just hearing that name, and I always go back to it, and just the whole thing about the midichlorians and creating life. And then you have to go back to the creation of Anakin, and it opens up so many questions that we probably can't get into tonight, but I'll just throw it out there. I mean, just think about all the stuff he said. It's not just about him saving Padme. It's also about Anakin's possible creation on some level too. So I'll leave it at that.
I like it. I like it. Again, this is another one that the four of us could just really run with, but let's go into Yoda and Obi-Wan's description of the Force. Well, I'm thinking specifically of the classic original that Obi-Wan Kenobi tells Luke on his hut in Tatooine. And then Yoda talks about how life creates it and surrounds us. Let's go start with you, Corey, on this one.
Sure, yeah. I mean, looking back to what Obi-Wan Kenobi says, you know, it binds us, it flows through us type thing. And in that moment, I remember watching it, and I didn't understand the idea of the Force when I was younger. And now what we know about it through what we've seen through, you know, all 6 films plus Clone Wars plus the Rebels show, we've seen so much other ambiguities of it. You mentioned the Yoda Chronicles, or not Yoda Chronicles, it was the season 7 Yoda missions.
Yes. Yes, Yoda missions. Yep. Yeah,
I'm just
Yoda
missions. Mention it again. Yeah,
yeah. So it's that just popped in my head is when you mentioned that, Mike, about how connected and also disconnected the Jedi are from the Force. How much they don't know, and even describing that to someone who doesn't know what the Force is at all, you have to take baby steps. I think that's what Obi-Wan Kenobi does to a young Luke. So it's like describing, you know, how we breathe air to a young child or something like that. So, and of course, you know, as we move into the 5 and 6 with Yoda, it's different because Luke's older. He's experienced some things. He knows of the Force. He used the Force to defeat the Death Star the first time around, and he knew that he felt it. You know, it's that binding, that inner voice, if you will. So Yoda's can feel more. I think Yoda's a little more in tune, if you will, like you're dialing a radio station. So that's my thought.
Mike, what about you?
Well, I think Obi-Wan gave an assist on the torpedo going down the shaft. But that, you know, that's...
Do you really?
Yeah. I think Obi-Wan's not as... We just did the dissection, and it pretty much... I came out on the side of Obi-Wan isn't so clean as we think, but that's for another day. We could go on for 2 hours with that, but... But
I definitely
case,
disagree, but that's, oh, I'm that's sure. All right.
Yeah, I disagree, but no.
No, I love Obi-Wan, don't get me wrong. No, he's one of my favorite characters, but I'm just saying, you know, one could look at it, you know,
don't you think that
way
would take away from Luke's potential? If there's divine intervention, why do you even need a Luke?
Well, that's a whole other debate we can get into another day. We'll have to have you guys come on and we can talk about, because we mentioned
hey, how about
let's
do that tonight?
Well, we could. We'll have a 5-hour podcast, but...
True.
But anyway, back to it goes back to the Clone Wars arc, which I just watched this weekend. I don't know why I decided to go back and check out the Lost Missions and the Yoda arc. I always loved, and it's interesting that he goes on this thing. And when the priestess was talking to him, saying, you know, the midichlorians, they mentioned the midichlorians, and I know fans are like, ugh, that's awful stuff. But the way it's explained in the Clone Wars, you kind of get what George is saying. It's, you know, when you die, this becomes this, and it's all connected and everything else, which is somewhat true when you look at it in a cosmic way of things are anyway. I mean, there's a million ways to look at it, but I always, it's just interesting how it evolved. And Obi-Wan, even the same thing, because then it goes back to what I was going to mention about that arc later on is, you know, they're basically saying the same thing in my mind, you know, because it surrounds us, it penetrates us, it binds the galaxy together. And that's essentially what Yoda learned when he went into the arc here, where he was talking to the priestess, and stuff like that. So,
right.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, go ahead, Dan.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I think that's interesting. I think ultimately both Yoda and Obi-Wan have this interesting dynamic. It's a paradox where you're talking about something that's biological and mystical. And I think if you reflect back on the Force is what gives a Jedi its power, it's an energy field created by all living things, not created by something mystical, created by living things. Therefore, that is the first sign of midichlorians, even though it's not mentioned for many, many, many years. And for further dissection of that, I refer to you Star Wars Insider issue 159 with an article written by Dan Zare. Yeah, that talks
ding
about that.
Sorry, I had to do that. I don't get to do that on our show, the ding, that much, so I had to do it. Sorry.
No worries. So, Joel, what about you?
Well, you know, just going off of what Mike said first, about, you know, Obi-Wan kind of interfering. And I'll just throw this little kind of quip in there. He does tell Luke in The Empire Strikes Back that I can't interfere if you decide to face Vader.
Which would shoot Mike's theory in the water.
Well, not necessarily. because
that,
why,
but...
why can't he? Maybe it's because he can't let Vader know that he still has a consciousness in the Force. That's always, that's kind of my theory. We mentioned it on the Obi-Wan dissections, which is, Mike, get that ding ready again, which is episodes 91 and 94 of our
ding,
podcast.
Ding, ding.
Okay. So, but going on to the midichlorians, Dan, I agree with you that like there are hints of it, because that's what I'm thinking. I'm hearing everybody talk and it's racing through my brain. And then you kind of you didn't steal what I was going to say, but you kind of hit on some of the things that I was thinking in.
Great minds, right?
And I thought that, you know, and what Corey said about baby steps, because not only is Luke needing the baby steps, we as the audience in 1977, even though I wasn't born then, thank you. But the first time you're watching the movie, you need the baby steps as the audience, because that's just the way a movie goes, right? But then now we're here 4 movies in episode 1, and Qui-Gon, he can go a little further in and explain it. And I think you're right. And I think this kind of goes to, you know, because Obi-Wan says it penetrates, you know, they say it penetrates everything. It's in everything. Qui-Gon says life could not exist without the midichlorians, without the symbiosis of it. Life couldn't even exist. I think this is kind of speaking, you know, I think it's one of those religious, it's almost like religion meets science. It's like, even if you believe in the Big Bang theory, it doesn't mean that you don't have to believe in God, right? Like, you can believe in science and believe in religion at the same time. You might just believe that God created the Big Bang theory and all of the scientific thing. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, do. That's where I'm going with it. Like, I don't know what everybody believes, but I believe there's some kind of, you know,
you sound like Han Solo. There's no mystical energy field that controls my destiny. Well,
no, that would be me.
I'm saying there is this higher thing, but without it, none of us exist. I guess this is my comparison. Like, if there was a Big Bang theory, like, and there was a little bitty tiny dot that exploded and made everything, right? So how did that get there, though? That's always been my thing on life, and I think you can kind of correlate it to Star Wars. It's like, there's almost got to be like this other powerful being of some sort. Otherwise, how did any of it start to begin with? And I think it correlates to what Qui-Gon says, is that without the Force, there could be no life. And I think it goes beyond that. It means how Yoda said, it's in the rock, it's in the tree. There wouldn't be a rock, there wouldn't be a tree, which a tree's obviously alive, so that's redundant. But you get my point. It's like, there wouldn't be a planet, there wouldn't be a sun, there wouldn't be space. There would be nothing without
all
the Force.
Molecules and all that other stuff with chemistry and everything. Well, no, but it's that's in a way, if you that. Well, no, I know, and if you look at it scientifically, it still makes you wonder and say, well, wait a minute. I mean, it's all connected somehow in some way. Even if you stop and if you don't believe in this or believe in that, you got to sit back. It's like astronomy. I love astronomy, and it always humbles you, and you always see all these things that everything's like, we came from this and that, and this is this, and it's heavy on the mind. I can tell you that.
It is. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Before we move on, I want to thank the individuals who reached out to us, all of us on Twitter. Just about, and we're like, Corey just sent me a text. We're we've done three bullet points. We're 27 minutes in, so I don't think we're gonna get through everything.
No,
I guess we're just gonna have to all come on each other's show again in the future.
I was a little disappointed. I was hoping we would. I know that's sad, but I was hoping we'd do the Ewoks thing.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that real quick. We'll close out that. I want to thank Imperator Matt for bringing up the opera scene discussion. Mediocre Jedi wanted to look at Yoda and Obi-Wan's descriptions of the Force. And then let's see, what the other one we have is the Chosen Prophecy, and that's from Jacob Ross. So thank you, everybody, for sending that in. Gary Rickelman sent us a really nice email, and one of the things he wanted us to look at was the Ewoks proclaiming 3PO as their god. I know we're running out of time here, but let's see. Joe, why don't we start with you? Any thoughts on that particular scene?
I'll set the scene for you.
Mike and I and Corey will start chanting for you. Oh,
3PO.
I hate the Ewoks, by the way. I just throwing it out there.
Even when you were younger, you hated them?
Yeah, they're just little teddy bears that need to be kicked. But anyway,
really?
Sorry.
So how do you really feel?
Use your divine intervention and get Mike to like the Ewoks.
So tell me, what were you going to say, Joa?
I guess, I mean, what could this come from? Or do they have some kind of a statue? Obviously, they would have had to have seen some kind of a vision or... You know, it makes me think that was there some time in the past where a droid has come down and said, hey, I'm your superior. Like, was it IG-88 or something? Like he, you know, because obviously he's a bounty hunter. He likes the, you know, we've seen him in the Darth Vader comic series. So I don't know. Like, was there a bounty or a droid who came down and proclaimed to be their, you know, divine master, I guess. So it's. I mean, besides that, I guess I really don't have a take on it because they had to get the idea from somewhere, and they're a primitive species. So obviously I think visual representation to them means an awful lot. So at some point it's funny to think that they've obviously probably seen another droid and he acted as their master until he got off the forest moon, I guess.
Interesting. I always took it as, while clearly they're all about nature and they don't know much about technology, they do know about the Imperials there, which clearly is technological in many aspects, but not gold. Gold and the yellow and the brightness is a reflection of light. Gold is obviously very expensive. I don't know what his actual consistency of his metal casing is, but I mean, it's clearly golden color. It reflects the light. So if there's any kind of religious things inside of the Ewoks, but there would have to be if they have a they completely live through nature and they get things from above, they're going to be spiritually based. It makes sense that they would look at him as a god because they've never seen anything like him. So it's a bit different than what you are saying. But again, we have similar goals in mind, but different paths to take them, which is why I think these crossovers are so much fun. Mike, what about you?
Well, I always thought it was interesting because, you know, growing up, we thought, oh, the Jedi was the religion. It was like that was the thing. And you didn't know what else the rebels really believed or the Imperials so much. Well, the Imperials were like, you know, a secular society with kind of industrial, you know, that type of thing. The contrast, so to speak. But it was always funny that there was like another religion. Like this is the first time like another way was introduced into the Holy Saga. And I thought that was awesome. And I'm like, oh, well, wait a minute. There's more to this world. That's what struck me is there's more like to this. And then you get exploring it a little bit more in the Clone Wars and stuff like that. But that's all I wanted to mention is that was, you know, it was a time when I was younger and you see, you know, you just think it's Jedi, you know, because you hear Tarkin say you're all that's left of that religion, blah, blah, blah. You're thinking, well, maybe it's not a very religious society or it's limited in what they believe or something like that. Because you hear even the rebels saying, well, maybe the Force be with you type of thing. But you don't hear like the Imperials saying anything like that, like, you know, the Emperor be with you or anything like that. So but to see like C-3PO, the most unlikely of all, get worshipped like that, it's just funny that they introduced a new god or a new type of religion. That's all I wanted to point out.
And it's also fun too when you look at the interplay between he and Solo in Empire Strikes Back. It's a nice little juxtaposition and gives him a little bit of his, you know, dignity back as if he really needs it. I've always liked 3PO, especially in the original trilogy. He's not as favorable in the prequel trilogy, but that's a whole other show too. Corey, let's close out this topic with your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, just thinking about this little scene, they obviously, you know, start worshiping him and bowing before him. So they knew how, like you said, Joa, they have some kind of machination of what they're looking for. They're looking for a quote-unquote chosen one, if you bring it back around. The other thought is that I had was, you know, they are looking to, I guess, eat Han Solo and the others.
I never thought about them as cannibals until recently.
It's interesting because I don't know if they're eating them or cooking them or just outright roasting them just to get them out of their way. But they're powerful enough to capture some rebels. You said the Imperial Force is on the ground there. They're working, so they know of, you know, these new beings that are in their territory. But one thing that sticks out to me is when Luke makes C-3PO levitate. You know, that really kind of catches their eye. That idea of this being or this droid levitating or becoming something other than they've seen. They've seen flying machines, like say Imperials and things like that, but never seemingly just up and lift off in this way. So it does bring a very spiritual nature to it, and something that they had to realize themselves in a sense to before they had to make different decisions to let Han and everybody go. So it's interesting. It's not something I had to think about too much, but it's a great question.
Really quick, did you guys see floating around on social media the other day the theory of how Princess Leia got the new clothes that she wears in the Ewok village, that they were the clothes of somebody that the Ewoks had eaten before her. This was an awesome theory. The theory that Luke was roasting Darth Vader. He was making dinner for them. So I don't know. It was just,
I think I saw that the other day, but I'm going to say they're not cannibals because cannibals would mean they're eating each other.
Thank you.
So they're kind of
just going to say that
they're just kind of like, you know, taking an opportunity of a big, you know, meat, I guess. You know, he's just like, hey, let's eat these people.
They're always thinking with their stomachs.
Exactly.
That's Wookiees. That's Wookiees. Well, guys, as always, it's great to speak with you. This was so much fun. We've got literally everybody. We have a list of others that we want to talk about. There's more that we didn't even get a chance to bring up at all. So as we said earlier, it's just going to have to be another excuse to talk with our friends from the Cantina Cast. Not that we need one, because we just love talking to our podcasting brethren. So, gentlemen, tell us really quickly about what's coming up on your show in the next few weeks and how everybody can get in touch with you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello.
Well, you guys are coming up on the part two of this discussion.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear that one.
Yeah. That'll be episode – you got exclusive access, Dan. There's going to be some spoilers in it for the episode. Like, you're going to be spoiled because when you listen to it, you've already heard it. So it's going to be ruined for you. But yeah, I think we're going to be talking about like spoilers versus non-spoilers. It'd be a little debate, not too heated, I'm sure. And that'll be episode 95. And obviously Mike and I will do our thing as well on that one. In the future, man, it's just all looking forward to The Force Awakens and just keep breaking down Star Wars stuff. And you can find us on facebook.com/thecantinacast, at the Cantina Cast on Twitter. Check out all our bloggers on www.thecantinacast.net. And, you know, we always like reviews. I know you guys love reviews on iTunes. I bet we love them even more. So we could use a couple ourselves. So pretty much that's it.
That's good. Mike, anything else to add to that?
No, because Joe loves saying, I love when he does it because, you know, that's his thing. I kind of just gave it to him long ago. Just say, tell him where to find us. And that was great. So that's it. That's all I got. I
don't have Very any. Good. Well, we will certainly put a link to part two of this crossover. Thank you, everybody, for being a part of this fun little entertaining thing. And join us over at the Cantina Cast. And, gentlemen, thank you very much. Have a great night.
Thank you.
More to add, do you?
So we have one more discussion email that we'd like to throw in here, and this is from Richard Chase Jr. And he writes, the first moment comes toward the end of Revenge of the Sith. This is the scene where Obi-Wan has to explain to Padme that Anakin has turned to the dark side. It conveys all the weight and emotion of the Skywalker saga to that point. Obi-Wan appears tired, weary, and upset, as Padme seems to be shocked by what she's hearing. In this scene, Williams provides us with a minor keyed theme that continues to loop and strengthen as Obi-Wan lays out his case out to Padme. The scene then moves to a panning shot of the dead bodies in the control room in Mustafar. As you're left seeing the evil of Anakin Skywalker, the music crescendos and the scene ends with a shot of Anakin standing there with a tear rolling down his cheek. Nota bene, the Hayden Christensen haters never have anything to say about this scene. I'll only gloss over the details of the second scene because everybody knows it. It is the scene of the final lightsaber duel between Luke and Darth Vader. What I'd like to point out is the impact of Williams' music and how that scene has evolved for me. I was a child of the 80s and watched Star Wars on old beaten-up VHS tapes. As a kid, that scene meant nothing more to me than Luke's defeat of Vader. As I grew older, I realized that he was flirting with the dark side and that he bested the Emperor as well by throwing his lightsaber away. It is only in the last few years as I've listened to the music behind the scenes more that I've come to realize that this scene means so much. Again, this scene is a culmination of all the weight of the Skywalker saga in one scene, magnified by the music. The men's choir music makes you realize that what you're seeing is actually tragic. This isn't a flirtation with the dark side or an epic battle alone, but a tragedy between father and son that we're witnessing, and all the weight of the six films up to this point has come down to this very tragic moment. It leaves you breathless at the end. Richard, thank you. Very, very important, poignant points. The music is beautifully powerful. I mean, we've talked a lot about John Williams. Never can we fully do him justice because, well, we're not music majors for one thing. But you're so right, the way it happens. And I'm with you. When I watched the scene when I was younger, it was Luke defeating the bad guy, defeating Darth Vader finally. And it was good. Part of me didn't like it because it meant Star Wars was over at the time. But when you watch when you're older and you know more about it, it's really powerful. You're on the edge of your seat and there's so much emotional gravitas to it.
It truly is. And I want to speak to the Obi-Wan Kenobi scene with Padme there.
Yeah.
That too. I do remember that scene pretty brilliantly as far as it being acted and just knowing the ramifications of what was going to happen next. And it's funny because it almost happens similar, same timing point, as a secondary scene he speaks about. You know, it's that crescendo of a decision. You know, Luke makes a decision and Anakin has made a decision. It's so right up there with the parallels we've talked about before so many times in these films. And just the talent that's involved with making these films. You know, I think about that too. And I think about the friendship between Kenobi and Padme. And that I tend to forget about that sometimes, that they too are friends through all this war. And of course, you know, them both having dealings with Anakin and knowing kind of what he's going through and the sadness involved. You know, it's something that that's it makes a great story. It's, it makes great characters as well. So very well done, Richard. I appreciate it. Our topic for show number 44 is Attack of the Clones. Scott Murray of Assembly of Geeks returns as we continue our analysis of the six existing Star Wars films. What are some of the more powerful moments in Episode 2? What particular themes or motifs speak to you? How would you feel about Anakin and Padme's growing relationship? And how about the characters introduced? In 300 words or less, be sure to send us an email or MP3 with your thoughts, comments, questions, and opinions to feedback at coffeewithkenobi.com.
I like the sound of that.
Echo 3 to Echo 7. Hano, buddy, do you read me?
I saw part of the message.
I seem to have found it.
For our first email, we have an email from Gary Rickelman, and he writes, "Hi, gents. I'm a relative newcomer to the show, as I'm not the biggest fan of Star Wars, but I enjoy listening to people talk passionately about things that they love. I was also nudged in your direction at the behest of Jeff, so blame him if you hear from me a lot in the future. Well, thank you. I appreciate the films for what they are and enjoy them, but that's where it stops for me. Anyway, I'm writing in based on the discussion that you had in the last episode about Star Wars and its real-life historical references. Like Cole, I was a history major in college and taught high school history for a number of years before moving to elementary teaching a few years ago. I thought the interview with Cole was fantastic. As stated before, I'm not really a fan of the Star Wars saga, but I love reading about the history surrounding the making of the original trilogy and how the entire mythos came to be. Cole mentioned a quote by George Lucas that he wasn't a fan of science fiction, but he liked to read and liked history. That is entirely me. I'd like to share a quick story of a student I had in one of my AP history classes. In my AP class, I made up a unit on the Abraham Lincoln Brigade, which my students overwhelmingly seemed to enjoy. One year, a student wrote an essay on the brigade and compared them with rebels of the original trilogy. The brigade was made up of volunteers, most with no military training, from all over the world who went to Spain to fight against the Hitler-backed forces of France, before World War II. Much like the real Rebel Alliance that was made up of races from all over the galaxy, some with military training and some without fighting against their oppressors backed by the Empire. This is but one example, and over the years, some of my colleagues shared with me essays and writings from their classes where students had used Star Wars as their inspiration. I find it fascinating that Star Wars has permeated the popular consciousness so completely that it can help myself and others in teaching children. I am now a fourth grade teacher, and many of my students are in love with Star Wars, especially Rebels, and love to tell me all about it, so my knowledge of Star Wars is expanding all the time. For the upcoming year, I plan on incorporating several of the Star Wars in the classroom lessons with my students, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'll let you guys know how it goes, Gary Rickelman." Well, Gary, thank you. Of course, we're thrilled when there are educators that find Coffee with Kenobi and are rogues and have checked out Star Wars in the classroom. A lot of great things there. And I love that story. And it's so true, the idea. And I always think of the Revolutionary War, excuse me, because to me that's the most compelling war. That's when I gravitate towards. And besides the Clone Wars, of course. And when you look at the fact that there are people fighting this war who have no training and no military background, but they have to for the common good to rise up against the oppressors because they are being oppressed, it's a perfect metaphor. And I agree with you. Star Wars is a great way to teach kids.
Absolutely. And I can't speak too much of the exclamations of a classroom setting, but he brought up a good point about the nature of how, rebellions are started. And it makes me think of the upcoming film Rogue One a little bit, where they had that cast shot. And we haven't talked too much about that between you and I. And that shot kind of makes this kind of come alive for me a little bit, where these folks are looking to fight for the greater good, fight for causes that mean something to them. And they're everybody, every man, every woman, and looking to rise up to carry out a mission that's greater than them. It's interesting that he puts this together like this, because I think we'll see much more of this type of style within Star Wars and where it comes from. So very good. Thanks, Gary.
You're right too. We didn't really talk about the Rebels, the Rogue One image. So yeah, I liked it too. And I agree with you. Very, very well said.
Our next email goes from Brian Yoder, and he says, "Well, thank you guys so much for what you do. I just listened today to your podcast for the first time. I stumbled across your podcast via the Twitterverse. I also followed Dr. Amy Sturgis and saw that you retweeted info about her upcoming class through Mythgard Institute and happily found myself at Coffee with Kenobi. That, and I was drawn to your high midichlorian count. It's off the charts. A couple Clone Wars, the Yoda arc, was what caught my attention. You recorded it in September of last year with Jason Ward. As I'm a big fan of the Clone Wars, but really don't have any local here to discuss with. Listening to you guys go in it in depth was all that I love about podcasting. A virtual couch, where I get to listen to people I feel like I'm already friends with go through a subject I love with a fresh take. Thank you again, and you've gained a regular listener, Brian Yoder." Well, thanks, Brian, so much. We have so many folks that kind of stumble upon us a little bit, and I love hearing from everybody. It's great that you found us. Thank you very much. And looking back at that Yoda arc, that was a interesting thing because it was new at the time. Netflix had debuted that, and you know, it was something that we had never seen. So it was kind of like, you know, what we are getting here in a few months, something that's fresh and new, a new take on you know, classic characters in Star Wars mythos. So, you know, we loved it. Like we talk about all the time, Dan, we love to sit around, like we're in a coffee shop and just talk Star Wars, talk potentials, talk ideas, talk, you know, stories. So this is right up there with that. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah. It's just like the ultimate thing you'd want someone to say that they feel like they're sitting around chatting with you, which is exactly what we envision. So yes, thank you very much. Our next email comes from Andrew Wellman, and Andrew writes, "Hi, guys. I just wanted to drop you guys a note to let you know that although I've been approaching the upcoming release of The Force Awakens with mixed feelings, I really have been enjoying the Coffee with Kenobi podcast. For many years, up until a few months ago, I'd gotten off the whole Star Wars internet fandom thing for no better reason than the endless Lucas bashing and whining from the prequel and special edition haters. For me, essentially, that managed to suck all the joy out of the franchise. Yes, I enjoy the prequels and always have, but because of this, other Star Wars fans, I'm expected to defend them? Why? I'm not sure. Although I have a hunch that taking the points spewed by many whenever the name of George Lucas comes up are really more of an attempt to fit in with the, quote, cool, end quote, fanboys than anything else. More often than not, their critical deconstruction of any of the three prequels generally boils down to the declaration that it sucked, it was stupid, it was horrible, and it was terrible. After not having seen any of the six films in probably at least 5 years, my wife and I watched all six films over the course of six nights, starting with Phantom Menace and ending with Jedi. And I was shocked at how much I was affected by the story as a whole. Yes, even the prequels. I'm one of those codgers that saw Star Wars projected on the big screen in 1977, and frankly, I find the prequels, besides each, standing as enjoyable as the other films. They enhance when they take away from the original trilogy. I started to feel sketchy about the whole Disney thing back when the announcement was made that essentially slapped an asterisk on the entire EU. While I wasn't bothered so much by the idea that characters such as Thrawn and Mara Jane suddenly no longer counted, it did indicate to me that while the prequels seemed to be aimed at the Star Wars fans, they kept the franchise alive throughout the 1990s by their support, these new films will be aiming for the lowest common denominator, explicitly designed to please the so-called, quote, fans of the Star Wars that despise the prequels, despise the EU, despise the Ewoks, and despise George Lucas. And if so, these new films are not designed to please me. This may seem like an odd comparison, but the best George Lucas analogy I can think of is Bob Dylan. And I read this earlier, Corey, and this is a pretty cool comparison. Back to the email. Early in his career, Dylan somehow managed to become something of a cultural focal point. And it was at that moment that people stopped suddenly wanting to listen to the music he was making and instead wanted him to make the music they wanted him to make, to write music about things that they felt he should be writing about, and they become upset with him when he did neither. Indeed, he had the gall to actually evolve as a musician. I know I'm being horribly cynical, but while the prequels weren't perfect, I enjoyed them for what they were, and the one thing they certainly provided was the idiosyncratic vision of George Lucas. Frankly, I don't know if I can get all that enthusiastic about a Star Wars without the impact of Lucas. If I'm expecting anything from The Force Awakens, I'm expecting yet another in a seamlessly endless string of brainless, low common denominator, big budget action, superhero science fiction comic book flicks that have come out in the past 5 to 10 years. Maybe I'm entertained by them, maybe I'm not, but very few of them manage to remain in my long-term memory. And from what I've seen of Abrams' work, logic, story, and character aren't as much a major concern or as his fan service, meta commentary, and creative marketing. I enjoyed Star Trek Into Darkness when I saw it for the first time in a theater in 3D, but I tried to watch the DVD again a few months later. It was like rewatching a magic act after learning how the magician accomplished each of his tricks. There's nothing really of substance left to enjoy. That said, I'm fully prepared to eat crow if I wind up enjoying The Force Awakens. We shall see. But forgetting all that, the real reason I'm emailing is to let you know how much I completely enjoy the podcast that I've heard. Obviously, as I've only started listening within the past couple of months, I'm still trying to catch up. I'm on episode 36. But I can't even begin to tell you how many things I've heard that I've enjoyed. There's also some of the amazing guests that you've managed to dig up. And I'm looking forward to getting caught up. In the meantime, thanks for the podcast. You guys sound like the kind of people with whom I like to see The Force Awakens with. And that's from Andrew Willman. Well, thank you, Andrew. That's very, very kind of you. And we'd love to see it with you, too. We'd love to see it with all of our listeners, because then we can have these conversations like the things you brought to the table, Andrew. And there's a lot here. And he apologizes repeatedly for being cynical. And I don't blame him. It sounds like, Andrew, you were very much in the thralls of when there's all that negativity. And that's hard. When Star Wars is an escape, you don't really want things negative and constantly being bashed, because, you know, that's your thing, and it's hard. You know what I mean?
I agree with that too. And you know, like you said, he's got a lot here. I'm really glad he is taking like a whole look at this. You know, he kind of got away from it for a while, and then revisited the films with a more older mindset. You know, taking a look at them in a constructive way, you know, a filmmaker's way. And obviously I love that I sit down with his wife as well, and she got to experience that.
Yeah, that's
very
cool.
Anytime that I can, you know, bring someone else into the saga, I'm all for it. So it's cool that he's kind of revisiting this and getting to know himself as a film goer and a consumer of Star Wars stuff. And that's the way you got to play it. You got to kind of take it as it comes. And I will say too, you know, J.J. Abrams isn't perfect. Neither is George Lucas or anybody by any means. Just because you know, you can't judge somebody on something that you know, they tried their best at. And now I know a lot of folks, you know, will come out of this and maybe give Abrams not all the credit he wants or is looking for, but you know, he's the guy that took this on, and it's a big weight on his shoulders, I think, too. And you know, he's trying his best to do fan service, but yet, you know, tell a good story and bring back some characters. So I give him props, because I enjoy his filmmaking. Maybe it's not all that great in some films, but I think he's again doing his best, and I think it was what anybody would be asked to do in such a position. And I'm excited. I'd love to go see this film with Andrew. You know, who knows, down the line, maybe we can all get together again in celebration down the road and check it out.
Would you see it with me?
I don't know. Are you busy that weekend, or what's going on?
I'm going to go. I'll be at the movies.
You will.
So maybe I'll.
So we might be like meet up in the lobby. If I see you, you see me. I'm buying popcorn.
It's conceivable.
If we just happen to see each other, I guess we'll check it out. Sure.
Maybe I'll shake your hand and ask you how you're doing cordially.
We could sit across the room from each other.
True. Or maybe we could actually do a live remote there. But more on that later, much later. And thank you for your email, Andrew. You've given us a lot of food for thought. And I'm going to back up Corey and say I wouldn't be skeptical or worried too much, because there's no way they're going to put the keys to this Millennium Falcon in the hands of JJ with this $4.5 billion investment without getting an incredible return. And everything we've seen and heard, I think we have nothing but optimism.
Well, I will put this out there too as well. He's taken on other franchises.
They've been good.
Mission Impossible franchise. He's done the Star Trek reboots. You know, he's done some of his own stuff.
Super 8
was big.
Incredible.
Well, it was like it was his first chance to be able to show something he was passionate about. You know, he was a writer and producer on that, so it was something that was kind of like his first little baby to be able to put out there and give some points behind him. And it gave you that 80s nostalgic feel for me when I went and saw it.
Yes.
So, I mean, he's got the right mojo, I think. And I'm not worried either. I'm looking forward to this, and I'm glad he's doing it.
From Topps comes the all-new digital card collecting app, free to download from iTunes or Google Play, Star Wars Card Trader.
For the first time ever, collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
All from the comfort of your mobile devices, Star Wars Card Trader.
These are the cards you're looking for.
Chewie, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed at Coffee with Kenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
Give the evacuation code signal.
That's it for show number 43 of Coffee with Kenobi. A huge thank you to Mike and Joa for joining us for part one of our crossover event with the Cantina Cast and for sharing their insights with us. Be sure to check out the Cantina Casts and subscribe to their show. A huge thank you to Mediocre Jedi, Mike Audette, Neil Lowry, Dennis Keithley, Matt Moore, Lillian Torres, Andrew LaSalle, Chris Perlow, Graham Desham, and Jesse for their contributions to Coffee with Kenobi Patreon page. We really appreciate it. If you want other ways to support our show, be sure to check out our Amazon and Fandango affiliate links on our website.
Thanks to Rob of the Bearded Trio, our media specialist Lisa, our Coffee with Kenobi bloggers, and to everyone who contributed to this show, and to all of you out there who listen to and email Coffee with Kenobi each and every week. Don't forget to send us your comments, questions, and opinions on the topic for show number 44, Attack of the Clones.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.